question, the second part of it is then once you have run the campaign or are running the campaign, how do you measure success, right? And you know, there's different metrics that people use. There's, you know, you have your impressions that run, you have clicks, which, you know, traditionally has been a popular metric, you know, the click-through rate for a campaign. Although, you know, we've found that the best metric is actually sales, right? And so, you know, most of what we do today is about driving consumers to an online purchasing place, you know, an e-commerce portal of some sort. And in that ecosystem, we're able to measure sales, right? So we can say, these are the sales that come off of your e-commerce cart. You could be using Jane, Dutchie, Timber, you know, any of the popular e-com platforms. And we're able to get signals back from those platforms and then match that up against impressions that were served, right? So broadly speaking, right now, what we found the most success with, especially with our retail partners, dispensary and delivery, is that actual sales. These are, you know, people that purchased. And we make all that available, all that data available directly to our customers, either within our interface, we have a self-service platform, or we give the raw data directly to, you know, if the advertiser has a data department, right? We give them all the data and then they can go in and look at, you know, is this a new customer, returning customer, lapsed, what's net new? And having that really allows advertisers to understand where they're spending their money because advertising cannabis is very expensive, right? It's more expensive than in other industries because for the most part, people don't get to write it off the way a non-cannabis business would.
So, 480,
yeah. So actual sales is the metric that we like to perform on. And it's, you know, it's very approachable for someone, especially someone who doesn't have a lot of experience in digital marketing. It's a complex landscape. There's a lot of things that happen in between the impression and the purchase, right? We try to make it very simple.
Yeah. So speaking of that, before you even launch a campaign, like what laws and compliance do you need to be aware of to?
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, everything has to be targeted geographically, right? Because we need to serve ads within legal jurisdictions. And then in each state, there are different advertising laws, right? So the things that you can do in California versus Colorado versus New York are all very different. The approval process can be different. Sometimes the actual cannabis board in a given state has input on that. And, you know, and we work with MSOs as well, right? So some of our MSOs, they're operating in obviously multiple states, and we have to run slightly different ads in each of those jurisdictions depending on what the laws are. So geography is the first one.
Got it.
Right? That's just table stakes. Like you have to know where you're serving ads. If you're not, you're already out of compliance. Right? Now you get into like, you know, your actual goals as an advertiser. You know, brands have different types of personas that they want to connect with, right? Is it a more of a youth-oriented brand or is it more of like baby boomer brand, right? And that's where first or third-party data starts to come in, right? And we have, you know, there's a big data marketplace out there. We have our own data that, you know, we collect and we know about consumers and what they're doing. And then there is the things that we leverage that Smart offers us, right? So maybe Ted, you can talk about, let's say, I'll give you an example. You know, I've got a retail company and I've got like a pre-roll special that I want to run and I'm trying to get new customers, right? If you're going to talk to an advertiser like that, what are the questions that you ask? And then what tools do you bring to bear to fill that?
Yeah, so it can be, you know, very granular. It can be very open, especially when you're, you know, going after audiences. So thinking about, you know, what the brand is, what the product is, and who the target market is. So, you know, I think it's even a step back from that too before the campaign, because, you know, we're talking about data that's more actionable. So, you know, if you're launching a new product, it means you've already, you know, launched ones in the past. So you have a lot of your, you know, internal data, your consumer data, your, you know, the type of customer that you have. And it's how do you make that actionable? And there's a couple different ways that you can do that and how you want to target to get new customers. And to take that, you know, one step further is that maybe this product is trying to reach a different type of audience. So you can use more behavioral data on the audience that you're trying to reach. And you can put a mix in of, you know, other things that they like or that they, you know, have shopped. So there's shopper data, there's, you know, past transaction data. There's also, you know, more behavioral statistics of, you know, age, a demographic,
likes, dislikes, interests, because, you know, as much as this generation and everything moving forward is very protective over their data, there's still a lot that they put out there because it's what they're interested in. So, you know, that search intent data that you can access through our platform, you know, people that are interested in your product or products that are like it, and then targeting those consumers. You can also target, you know, let's say if it's a product that speaks more to a millennial generation, more in the recreational space, but you're coming out with one that speaks to a older generation, you can take traditional data, which would be more like a Nielsen demo of like what we did with TVs, and then that's your age range, and then get a little bit more granular with that of the other interests and likes that they're into and deploying that, and then look at the media that you would end up buying it on. And it can be like, oh, this makes sense. You know, we're targeting this person. They're going to read this. Or it might come back with, oh, I didn't realize that my target consumer is actually here.
Yeah. So, you know, you can deploy the data and then
you can also figure out more about your audience that way.
But I think it's important to
pick your data based on long-term
and what you're going to try to build out and who you're going to try to target.
So then you can continually test and try different segments.
Okay. Now, and like, as far as the reasons for collecting data, like why should it be a priority for a retailer to look at data sources? And
let's break that apart into different pieces again, right? Okay. So we were talking about third-party data just now, right? Which is, what do we know about this particular consumer and what affinity they have to brands that might be adjacent to your brand, right? Like it could be, you always say, you know, people, they wear Adidas sneakers.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Do you know something about your audience, about the brands that they have affinity with? And you can then go out and purchase audiences and layer that in for people that buy Adidas shoes. That's that's available, right?
Yeah.
Now there's a little bit of cost to that and you're going to pay a data provider for that. But the idea is that you're targeting your impressions more, you know, accurately, and you have to buy fewer impressions to get to your target audience.
I
think one thing that's really important too is that the way that I look at data
is I break it into three different categories.
Okay.
And it's very relevant for any new brand, any industry. And it's built on the data that you receive, you collect just based on, you know, your normal day-to-day business or if you're actively collecting data.
But there's really three groups that you want to look. You can put them in a Venn diagram. You can keep them separate, you know, however, but you have your, existing loyal shoppers.
Yeah.
You have dual shoppers, and then you have,
you know, conquesting or new.
What are dual shoppers? Just so you can.
So, you know, dual shoppers can sometimes be relevant, but let's say that you're in, you're young, you're in a city, and you go to one dispenser.
And you know, you signed a year lease, your lease is up, you move somewhere, and there's another closer dispensary. It's the same challenge that any larger big box retailer has. The perfect example is, you know, New York City. People move around a lot. You have Duane Reade, Walgreens, CVS, and you shop at the one that's closest and nearest to you.
Yeah.
So Home Depot, Lowe's, guys like that have been doing this for a really long time where, you know, they look at location data. So they will see, you know, where your, you know, home is and where your work is, where you spend your day. And there's a couple different ways to get that data. But if they notice that, you know, you're Home Depot and you notice that there's a Lowe's on their, you know, commute.
Yeah.
But a Home Depot is 25 miles away. For you, that's a wasted impression. So that's not worth conquesting. It's worth spending the money on your consistent loyal shopper and getting more out of that. And those are, that's specifically for retail, but for brand, you have your, you know, people that are loyal to your brand or pre-roll, people that are loyal to you and your brand, you know, they like it. And then you have people that will buy that or they'll buy this, you know, depending. And then you have
people that won't buy it at all.
And so your messaging and the data you use will speak differently to all of them.
Yeah.
And one thing that's really challenging in the cannabis market is to build brand loyalty. You know, those examples of Home Depot, Lowe's, CVS, Walgreens, like they have all of this, you know, data on you.
Yeah.
They know what you're shopping.
Yeah.
But they also give you something back. You get rewards, you get, you know, coupons all the time, that cannabis brands, you know, haven't ventured into that, but it's also very hard for them to do that because each individual retailer is its own shop, its own, you know,
has its own laws too, yeah. Its own compliance, yeah. And as far as Jake, like as far as collecting first party data, like yeah. How can dispensaries collect that?
Yeah, so that's available today. You know, that's one of the things that we do at MediaGel is we enable our advertisers with, you know, we have tags that go on your site, and yeah. You know, when people go to your site, either to visit or to purchase, that goes into your first party audience data pool. And I, you know, there's this whole cookie apocalypse thing that's going on in identifiers, yeah. And we don't need to get into the technical details. It's a mess. But the outcome of that is that first party data, it continues to become more and more valuable because it is a one-to-one relationship with the customer.
Yeah.
And you know, you should have a, you know, the appropriate cookie notification and handle. There's, you know, CCPA, GDPR, there's a bunch of things that we can handle all of that and have, you know, good. Be good custodians of the data, but you then own that data as a brand or retailer. You have a one-to-one engagement with the consumer. They've agreed to share the information with you, and that bypasses all of this cookie apocalypse,
yeah.
You know, device IDs going away, because you have both permission and a one-to-one relationship. And that is an asset for you. And that is, and you can blend that in with your CRM data, right? So if you have email addresses or phone numbers, you can hash those things, you can import them in. And then you have a tool that you can use that you own and no one else does to maintain and grow brand loyalty, which in the space, especially in the states that are getting more and more licenses out,
yeah,
it's becoming competitive, right? And everyone's offering deals all the time. And eventually, as markets mature, you can see this in other industries. You need to have that loyal customer base, and you know, this sort of, you know, rewards coupons is kind of beyond the scope of this. But that's a tool that you can use. But you can't use that if you don't know how to communicate with your consumers.
Yeah.
And you can't just blast some text messages all the time, right? That is a good tool for like direct response.
There'll be fatigue.
Yeah, but you want, you know, you need to maintain brand awareness even with your existing customers, and that's something that. People that are newer to marketing, I would say digital marketing, come in and they're like, oh, I don't want to serve impressions to my existing customers. And I heartily disagree with that statement, right? Like everybody knows who McDonald's and Coca-Cola are. They don't stop advertising, right?
Is there a good balance of how much of your budget you should spend spend on existing customers and nurturing them? Like 80-20, 90-10?
I don't think you can put a percentage or a number on it. I think it really comes up, you know, it's going to change for everybody, yeah. Depending on the type of product you are, but you know, you never want to forget about, you know, the people that are loyal to you.
The lifetime value of those customers is worth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, with the dispensary, because if you look at, you know, your consistent customers that come in and you know, that, you know, Joey comes in, he buys this, you know, and he spends this once a week, and that's great. But also, how do you get more out of him?
Yeah.
So you want to analyze, you know, what he's buying, the products that he's buying, and you know, up that percentage. You know, how do you add more to his cart?
Yeah.
How do you get him to try, you know, different and new products? So there's still, if anything, it's, you know, 50-50. I mean, you have to almost kind of look at them as two different marketing strategies.
Yeah.
And it's really important to do the marketing mix, but like your loyal customers can also be your best asset. So maybe you change the, you know, you use the data that you're getting from them and you change your messaging to your loyal customers more of like a, you know, almost bringing them into the fold. You give them more informational stuff. So then they're out there in market, you know, saying, oh, I like this product.
Yeah.
And that experience too is built with your loyal, because you want to turn them into your best marketing assets. But you still have to continue to drive a business and have to look for those consumers that aren't shopping with you, aren't buying your product, or don't know who you are.
Yeah, those are all great points. And as far as prioritizing what data to track, like what should dispensaries focus on? Like what data points specifically? I mean, you mentioned a few in the beginning.
Yeah, so I mean, engagement, like, you know, how the frequency with which people are both engaging sort of online and also sales, you know, cannabis has for a fair amount of the customers, it's got, I would say an above average, like frequency, meaning that we see a lot of customers that come in to a dispensary, you know, multiple times in a month, right? Which is unique to it's not entirely unique, but it's more common in the cannabis space. And, you know, we see it all the way up to like, you know, on the high end, we've seen some customers that were, you know, running media campaigns for that have been in one dispensary like 10 times in a month, right? Very high frequency shoppers.
Getting pre-rolls every day.
Yeah, whatever it is, right? So, you know, you're also, again, in the space, it is getting more competitive and your competition is going to be serving that, right? So like they're going to see your competitor's brand in most of these markets, right? Yeah. So that's why you need to continuously reinforce your brand. And another thing about advertising to your existing customers is there's a psychological benefit to when people see ads for a business that they are customers of, whether it's a billboard or a digital ad, it actually reinforces the legitimacy of that brand, right?
Like build that trust.
Well, you build the trust in it, and it has it makes you feel. You've had this before, right? Where you see something, you're like, oh, those are like my jeans or whatever. Yeah. And you see the ad. This is what luxury vehicles do, right? Like Mercedes, BMW, a large part of their media mix is about making their existing customers feel good about the purchase they made 3 years ago. So that in 2 years, when they make another purchase, they feel like they're part of a brand they connect with.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the brand becomes, you know, the culture too. And also to that, you know, people want to feel like, you know, they're buying a legitimate brand. And sometimes if you're an early customer and somebody and you start to see them advertising and they're and
validation.
Validation. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
And that, you know, everybody has, you know, somewhat of a trained eye. Like you can tell if it's a good ad or a bad ad, and you'd be like, oh wow, like that was probably expensive. Like I'm glad that they're doing well.
Yeah.
You know, and that can help. And then, you know, another thing too that I think would be interesting to hear, you know, your thoughts working on more with more and more of these companies is, you know, how important is for your loyal customer and the data that you can collect to help build shopper lookalike, to help get those new customers in? Because the data that you collect on your current customers, your CRM data, other things that you're pulling in that you receive, that first party data, how important is like shopper lookalike modeling?
Yeah. So shopper lookalike modeling is interesting, you know, and that does more fully answer your question, Guillermo, about what is, you know, important data. I mean, pretty obvious, you want to be able to understand whether you've got people that are buying edibles or buying flower or pre-rolls, right?
Yeah.
But then the question becomes is once you get past that basic information, what do people buy together? Right. Yeah. Like, so you
bundles.
You know, yeah. And so the lookalike, you can analyze your own data and say that, you know, we have this set of users or customers and they buy this product and this product frequently together. And we have this set of customers that are buying one or the other product individually. Right. So then you can target them for the other product that they're not buying because you have a higher likelihood that they're going to have affinity for that. And that's where you get into like the actual creative execution. What is it that you're offering? And that's something that's important for all of this to work at all, like data targeting, the creative. You actually need to start with a marketing goal, which a lot of people kind of forget. They're like, oh, I want to run ads, we're going to put our brand out there. But advertising and marketing works much, much better when you have an end goal in mind, right? It's not just I want to get customers, right? This is a conversation we have sometimes,
e-commerce, like, sales, store foot traffic, how many, what are your revenue goals? And you can reverse engineer that to actually create a marketing budget that you feel confident and you'll get behind. You actually hit.
Because we run like new user acquisition campaigns separately from retention, loyalty stuff that is happening, because the creative and the targeting is in fact different.
And shopper lookalike is, you know, something that you know, is a space that I came from before, and it doesn't have to be, you know, the guys that really do it well are selling like big ticket items, like big purchases, cars, houses, home redos, you know, like that's kind of where it started, but you can still get granular and use the playbook of shopper lookalike, especially, you know, in cannabis, like in a much granular way. What you can do is, you know, seasonality and event-based marketing. So if you look at your shoppers and you see when they shop with you and you break up the different types of consumers, and then you look at maybe, you know, two times out of the year, they spend a ton. And like, to give you an example is like, let's say you have somebody that, you know, lives here in California and you see that they normally spend, you know, $30, $40 a month. But then, right, you know, I think it's in April or something.
Yeah. They,
yeah. Or before or after that, they spend $100. And then you see a couple of the same people that do that, and you're like, oh, it's you're tracking devices and things. You're like, oh, it's probably because they're going to Coachella. They're coming here to go to a concert or something. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, seasonally around holidays, you know, not just like the Black Friday and stuff, but like people might buy it for, you know, certain reasons. So you can change your marketing mix to present a special message for that time. So you'll see people do it for, you know, like holiday sales. But in this case, you know when certain consumers are going to buy around certain times. So then you can maybe do something to get them into stores, into offers, do something more strategic around those too. But you can look at the, you know, a linear storyline of purchases throughout the year.
Wonderful. And I mean, as far as maximizing return on ad spend, what would, you know, how can you use data to really, you know, maximize?
Yeah. So on the, I would start with the targeting side of things, right? Okay. Because if you look at the, you know, the way that we're doing digital advertising today, at the end of the day, it's an auction, right? So we're bidding on impressions that become available, and there's billions of them daily.
Yeah.
So there's a huge amount of impressions available. And they're generally going to fall within a regular price range, right? So you're going to pay the same amount usually for an impression that is targeted. Maybe there's a little data fee on there, but you're talking about maybe 10 or 20% price difference. But the idea is that you don't want to serve ads to most of the impressions that are available, right? So if you can be selective about the impressions that you're buying, that's the first step of, you know, taking the funnel and narrowing it down, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, as far as maximizing return on ad spend, it's, like you said, it's limiting the audience that you're targeting. Could be changing landing page copy, call to actions, anything related to your website, you know, mobile device. Your website needs to load fast. It needs to be clear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, is conversion rate's going to be huge. So ensuring that you have the right products that are speaking to the audience that you're targeting is another thing.
Yeah.
Related to the campaigns. But we're seeing, you know, it just depends on the state, but, you know, anywhere between a 5 to a 50 return on ad spend. Just, it varies widely. Even within the same MSO, they might have 50 stores, and, you know, it's Michigan, I know, and Illinois is doing really well in return on ad spend. Massachusetts, California is a little more competitive, so it's a little bit lower. So there's just a lot of opportunity there just within campaigns. Well, let's wrap it up. Any remarks that you want to share, and where can people follow?
Yeah. The last thing I would say really about data and deploying and using data is, you know, being smart about it is easy to say, but data is expensive, and to deploy with like a very, you know, heavy data, you know, one that's really going to work, it's expensive, and it's a very finite audience that you're reaching. So make sure that you also have a balance within your data deployment. So you want to have, you know, less expensive data and toggle between, you know, how surgical you want it to be, but have it be scalable, and then have very heavily targeted too. So to cover all of those bases, and to really think about, you know, what the focus is, but leave it open and very pointed data. But there's a ton of data out there. We have access to a lot of really great data partners that you can test, you can run with. You can see what the segments are built on and what type of inventory it's on, and whether it's display, video, rich media, native, connected TV. You can deploy your data there, all in a, you know, pretty easy to use platform via Smart.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, and just one more thing to that point. You're asking about why do you want to collect data. So the data that you own, your first party data that you collect for your CRM or your pixels on your site, that doesn't cost you anything, right?
Yeah.
That's now you own
free,
that, right? So now you don't have to pay those data fees. And, you know, we see the difference in general, like a prospecting campaign that is not a retargeting campaign versus where you're serving ads to people that have engaged before, you usually have like a 400% increase in performance, right? So it's a big difference.
Yeah. You, you know, you get what you pay for with data.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, just ensure that you have everything on the foundation side set up with your business, your technology stack, that you're collecting data from the point of sale system, e-commerce, pixels. You're at least capturing that data. So when you're ready to run a campaign, you have everything set up so that you can, you know, kind of hit the ground running. And, you know, don't be afraid of launching a campaign. It doesn't cost that much money to just run a test. You know, you have an extra $1,000 around, just run a pilot, test it out for a month, look at the performance, you know, analyze the data, and then just make a decision on that based on that. It's like, hey, this is a profitable channel for us and we'll expand on it. And it's just, you know, just kind of getting started is the first step.
Yeah. And you'll certainly learn things too. You want to leave yourself room because it's good to, like, you can make predictions about who you think your customers are and where they're going to be. But we have found some very interesting behavior that we did not expect from, like, specific pubs in specific regions that tend to drive more sales.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, a lot of pubs out there. So you do want to leave room for experimentation and figure out, you'll find out interesting things when you run some media, for sure.
Yeah. So just check us out at mediagel.com. Reach out to us, schedule a meeting. Let's get a demo going and let's get a campaign launch for you. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.